Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
Welcome, weary audio traveler. You have found the Nerdist podcast.
DC, San Francisco, Boulder, Austin, Philadelphia, Atlanta, Minneapolis, Madison, Wisconsin, Chicago, Iowa City. These are all cities where the Nerdist Podcast Live is coming to perform. Check Nerdist.com/calendar to get info and tickets on that business. What are you doing Christmas Eve? Why not watch the Nerdist television special on BBC America at 9, 8 Central with our special guests, Will Wheaton, Nathan Fillion, Simon Pegg, and the 10th Doctor, David Tennant. Also join myself, Matt Myra, Jonah Ray, and Mike Furman, the Nerdist television special. Now a thing! On your television set. Next week, the week after Christmas at the time of this recording, we are going to put up our Nerdist stand-up cluster. Last year, we did a stand-up comedy special. It was fantastic. This year, we're doing our second annual stand-up comedy special. I'm just calling it the cluster. It's a cluster of stand-up. I don't know what else to call it. I may need a name. I don't know. Pickles and mayo. I don't know. I need something fun. I'll just call it the cluster for now. So that's going to be our last show of the year next week. We're all going out of town. We're not going to be able to do a host phone. Besides, the stand-up cluster show is 2 hours long. So I want to give you a whole week to enjoy it. Right? The week between Christmas and New Year's. The week between feeling bad about the holidays and feeling good about the hope that lies just around the corner in the new year that you can then wrap around and feel bad about the holidays in 2012. I hope you don't feel bad. I hope you have nice holidays, because I like you. So, stand-up cluster going up next week. The show was phenomenal. Everyone crushed. So there's going to be a lot of comics that if you haven't heard of, then you will definitely want to follow after that episode. So I'm super excited, super excited. There's no more stand-up on television, really. Damn it. There's a little bit. But not like when I was growing up in the 1980s, when comedy would just leap off the television waves into your boat. You didn't even have to cast a line out for it. Those were the days. Not like these goddamn kids now. Goddamn kids. Just got angry at kids for no reason. But let me tell you who I am not angry at. Carbonite. This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by Carbonite Online Backup. Your computer is going to crap its shorts. Someday, because computers have finite lifespans. Far, far, far shorter than human beings. So if you get a virus or something crashes or you get a blue screen of death or whatever it is, disaster is inevitable and you don't want to lose your files. So get Carbonite. Carbonite backs up your files automatically whenever you're connected to the internet. When disaster strikes, you get your files back. Anytime, anywhere access, your backed up files are available to you. All you need is an internet connection. You can get a smartphone or iPad free app to access them as well. Unlimited backup is $59 a year. That is less than $5 a month. So please start your free 15-day trial today at carbonite.com. Use the offer code Nerdist, and then you'll get 2 free months if you decide to buy. And then if disaster strikes, you can be like, suck it, disaster. I am flicking my middle finger at you, you non-corporeal concept. That's carbonite.com and use the offer code Nerdist. Thanks to Carbonite for their continuing support. And now, the Nerdist Podcast, episode number 151, with Mr. Michael Rooker. Rooker! He is awesome. He is really awesome.
Awesome!
I gotta stop saying awesome now, but I can't, because I remember the 1980s, where I'm from.
Awesome is such a tubular word. Rad.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Oh wait, this adapter won't work for this thing.
Oh no.
No way, man.
Hang on. Nope.
I can't work like this.
It's all ruined.
State of the art.
All right, let's all get you this. Right up on that mic so we can hear you.
How's there that?
We go. Oh, you're perfect. Good, oh, you sound amazing. Testing, right? Michael Rooker's here.
Whoa, I heard that.
I just destroyed the poor man's ears.
You just made him go deaf with his own name.
I feel like I kind of did that.
There's a certain poetic justice in that of going deaf with your own name. Here, I'll try it. Is that better? Is that better?
What am I doing? Yeah. Where am I
going? There should be a control under the thing.
I got it.
You got it?
Yeah.
Oh, good. So. Sorry, Michael.
Yeah.
I've just deafened poor Michael
Rooker.
It's
been a long time since you sat on a chair, yeah.
It started going down on me.
Everything okay?
I'm okay. I think I'm good.
Good.
Yeah. Good. Yeah.
These are most.
Here, I'll come down to your level.
Yeah.
Let's see. Here you go. Here.
How's that?
Everyone. Yeah. Oh, adorable. Here
I'll
comes
I'll come down. I'll come down with you.
Oh, you're so sweet. Don't go down with me. No.
With you, not on you.
Hey, first of all, Jonah Ray. First of all, Windpocalypse.
Which we missed.
We missed it completely.
I missed that.
Windageddon. There was a crate. Were you here for the crazy windstorms?
Oh, yeah. I was here. Yeah. What? I was up all night long.
Did anything happen to your home?
No, nothing happened to homes. Although, you know what? You could have filmed it without sound, and it would really look spooky because the windows were moving out. And
jeez.
You know.
Yes. A friend of mine that I grew up with in Hawaii is out here. He described it as being much like a hurricane.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
But we were in Northampton, Massachusetts. We totally missed it.
Todd, you know the art department guy, Todd?
Yeah.
His roof blew off.
Holy shit.
Yeah, he lives in Mount Washington. Roof blew off.
Yeah, they don't make roofs like they used to, you know.
Well, it's one thing, if I know anything.
It's true, they don't use straw.
Yeah. They don't have palm fronds just thatched together.
Your fence blew over?
Yeah, the side fence between us and that former crack house just blew right into the house. And then,
did it get rid of the crack house for you?
No, they've been gone for a bit, but it does feel uneasy having a broken fence between, because they still show up every once in a while thinking it's still going on.
To do crack?
Don't worry. You're not going to get any free things. You know, they're not going to. You're going to have to buy it.
Well, it's too bad they didn't blow some crack into your yard.
I would have loved some crack.
That would have been so much fun. Michael Rooker, it was a pleasure to have you on Talking Dead a couple weeks ago when you came on.
That's not what I heard. You're just saying that, I think.
I heard it was great.
I loved you on the show.
Well, thank you, bro. I brought my beaver hat just for you today.
I appreciate it. Oh, you got the beaver hat on.
I have the beaver hat.
My favorite thing was that when we went to the premiere of Walking Dead this season, you were sitting next to James Gunn, and then there's the scene where Daryl Dixon guts the zombie, and James Gunn, you kind of just said to yourself, that's not how you gut a person.
Well, it's true, dude. You don't do it that way. I'm sorry. You go from the soft,
the groin up?
Yeah, the groin up.
Yeah, like Candyman would. That's how Candyman would do it.
You do a deer or something like that, any other kind of wild game or something like that, you know. And plus, he's like,
sawing at it.
I mean, my guy, he's like digging at it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I don't. I've never gutted a person.
But there's blood. It's a zombie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, give me a break. I don't want any of that crap splattering all over me.
I thought it was funny that they didn't show it, but I was kind of bummed that they didn't show it. Yeah. I want to see some more gore.
Oh yeah.
You grew up in Alabama, right?
About half my life in Alabama. The other half was in Chicago.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
my dad's from Mobile. I've spent some time.
South Alabama. I'm a north central Alabama boy around Birmingham, north of Birmingham, a little town called Jasper.
Jasper, Alabama.
Yep.
I've been to Birmingham. I like that town.
Birmingham is the British way to say it.
Birmingham.
Birmingham.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have Starbucks down there now.
I remember when I first went back, I went back to my hometown. I grew up on an island in Hawaii. I went to my hometown. There was a Starbucks there and I felt sick. I was like, no, they found it. I don't know how they found it. But
I'm just imagining someone writing a letter to Michael. Michael, they put a Starbucks in.
Yeah, things have gone changed.
I'll be right down. Yeah. Blam, blam.
Yeah. We'll fix that.
So how does a guy from Jasper, Alabama...
Then Chicago.
But how do you get... Listen, because I'm from the South, and a lot of people don't necessarily always get out of the South. People are born there, they have kids there, they die there. Like, it's getting out of the South is kind of a big thing.
You know, when there was a migration earlier, you know, like maybe a 20-year migration habit of Southern people going up to the Midwest for work. And that's what my dad had done. And just sort of stayed without us. My mom got tired. My mom got tired of his ass being up there with some other woman, and snagged us, put us on a train, and brought us up there and dropped us off on his doorstep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
What'd your dad do?
He freaked out. What about the woman he was with? She's the one that was freaked out. You got like six. Now you got six little kids.
Wow.
It's like all of a sudden you're having this little romantic thing, and now you got six kids.
How did you find me? I mean, hello! It's great to see you.
Oh, hey, how are you?
Hey, guys. So what was your dad's profession? What did he do up in Chicago?
He was a driver. He drove trucks.
Yeah? And then at what point was there anything you ever were going to do besides go into acting?
Yeah, I was going to be a Marine.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah, baby. I joined right out of high school, but I ended up getting a 4F. I had some hearing problems. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Which I didn't help when I shouted into the microphone with your headphones
Don't
on.
Worry, I couldn't hear you.
Okay.
Was that a bummer?
Only one ear. Okay.
What were you saying, John?
Oh, was that a bummer? Like, was that your plan to just go in the Marines?
Yeah, that was my plan. I wanted to be a Marine, and that's what I wanted to do.
Like you had plans of being like a lifer, just in there, going up the ranks? And
absolutely.
Yeah.
So then how does acting figure in to all that?
Hell if I know. I have no idea, dude. I went to a junior college, graduated, and then I went to, I worked as a CTA bus driver.
Wow.
And I was a lifeguard for 3 summers at the North Avenue Beach, the center of the universe, so they say. Anyway, and then met an actress, a couple people who had an acting company, and thought to myself, well, good gracious, I think I could do it better than that. And so I took a couple of classes and decided that, I think I could. And then I went to the Goodman School of Drama.
Mm-hmm.
I auditioned there, got in.
John Goodman School.
The rest is history.
It's not John Goodman School of Drama.
No, it's not.
Teaches you how to yell.
You look at your IMDb page, and you have more credits than most people. You've been in a fucking lot of movies.
Dude, I didn't know you could say fucking on this.
Oh, yeah. You can swear all you want.
No way.
Yeah, you can
internet.
Fucking swear.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
That's all he's going to say from here on out. So what'd you do then? Fuck.
Off,
and how
man.
Did that go?
I was fucking this fuck for a couple of fucks, and then they fucked.
Fuck if I know.
Yeah, you can.
You fucking guys are nuts.
You can say whatever you want.
Anyway, what was your question? What'd you ask?
I think it's fascinating that guy from Alabama gets up to Chicago, is going to be a Marine, and then all of a sudden, not only do you end up figuring out, not only do you end up discovering acting, it sounds like you were vagina jumped into it because you said you were dating an
somewhat,
actress.
Somewhat, yeah.
But
was that a way to impress her, just to get into it?
I don't even think I got into it. You know, she was not into me. That was the problem.
So this whole your whole career has been I'll show her. I'll show her what I can do. Beat her at her own game. Acting.
You know, yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
Then she'll see.
Yeah.
Then she'll love me. She's probably listening to the podcast, right? Don't you think, Jonah?
No, I think no.
Of course, everyone listens to the podcast. What's your listening numbers here?
It's
85 billion.
It's
right?
Quite a few people. Yeah. It's quite a few people.
Billion.
Yeah.
Oh. Everyone, I think, was the last number we got. It just said everyone.
It's somewhere between one and everyone.
Yeah.
One and everybody.
Takes one.
No, what it is a crazy story. You know, I'd always been kind of critical of commercials.
Mm-hmm.
you know, I'd watch TV, you know, and commercial would come on. I'd watch somebody eating a hamburger and I'd go, oh, give me a fucking You do not eat a hamburger that way, okay? I can't deal with this. Yeah, I'd throw the TV out the window.
But then you realize that's probably in that commercial, that's like the 30th time the guy had to take a bite out of a hamburger and then spit it into a bucket.
Oh, gross.
I could say, hey, Vern, fuck that guy. Fuck that guy.
Your resume has an amazing Mississippi Burning. Incredible. Incredible movie.
Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Henry Portrait
that's
of
when
a
I came
killer.
Into that's a I was a real
my first one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's when I figured it out.
You sick. How old were you?
I was pretty young. I think I was fifth grade, sixth grade, something like that.
Oh wow.
Yeah. A little younger.
How'd you get a hold of that? Great.
My parents didn't really care what I watched, so like all I did was just rent horror movies, and then I would invite friends over that weren't allowed to watch horror movies, and then I remember I had it, and like my friends were like, oh, that looks kind of boring. It's just a guy on the cover. I was like, no, it's supposed to be real fucked up. And I read, you know, like books about movies, and I remember hearing that one's like a real fucked up movie, and it's great.
Yeah, Jonah grew up on an island, and his dad was high a lot, so there was really no supervision.
They didn't care. They thought it was hilarious.
Hey, he's waking up in sweats again. Yeah. He's crying in the middle of the night. It's adorable.
Yeah. Sounds like a metaphor. Jonah grew up
he
on an island.
He went to bed again. Damn.
But I am fascinated by the idea that, you know, did you even have a backup? Was there any backup plan when you started acting, or were you like, well, I'll just try this for a while, and if it works, great, and if not, then I'll go do something else.
There was absolutely no backup.
Wow.
I was always told, don't put all your eggs in one basket, and I did exactly that. Well, you know what? It took me a little while. You know, I was somewhat of a late bloomer. I was maybe 22 when I went to school for theater. And I just decided to do it.
And do you, what's your favorite kind of, how do you pick the projects that you do? Is it just do you really just do stuff you like doing, or
I don't want to do anything I don't like doing. I've only done that a few times in my career, and every time they turn out shitty or, you know, I'm not happy with it. I'm doing it for the wrong reason, you know? And, you know what? When I read a script and I get a little scared, you know? I don't know, wow, how do you do this? That's the one I like to do.
Nice.
And how'd you get involved with The Walking Dead? Did they offer that to you, or did you audition for that? Or
You know what? It's a funny story. I had done did a job for Frank Darabont 18 years earlier.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And for some reason, I was set, ready to go, and my agents had gotten me some other job that paid a lot more money. I mean, a lot more money. You know what I mean? And so I said, well, I've already agreed to do this thing, you know, with these guys. And my agent's like, don't worry about it. We'll fix it. We'll talk to them. Don't worry about it. And I said, you sure? Okay, yeah. Okay, fine. So I said, well, did you talk to them and everything the next couple of days? Said, yeah, everything's cool, man. They said, go make some money. Right on. Okay. 18 years later, Walking Dead shows up, casting friends of mine, the Finn Cannons down in North Carolina. They call me, say, brother, we got a role for you that was just written for you. And I say, yeah, all right, what is it? And they told me all about it. I said, fuck yes. Are you kidding me? Let's do it. And they said, well, there's just one thing. The producer has a real hard-on for you. And I stop for a second. I go, I'm taking it. It's not a good hard on. And she's like, no, it's not.
There's bad hard ons?
Oh, yeah.
You've never been on an airplane, Chris?
Bad
hard on, like, I will never hire this guy ever again on any of my projects. Oh. And it had been 18 years.
He held on to that.
The heart never forgets.
18 years. And I found out through the grapevine and through trying to get this gig, it was not only his first or maybe his first project, but back then, you know what? people were making movies because my name were in, my name was involved. Because I was involved with the movie. They would get financing.
Oh. Mm.
So they had got financing for this project because I was involved. Oh, and then when I dropped out, they lost their financing.
Oh.
They eventually got it made, of course, and they cast someone else and all that, and it was okay. But they still had that really ugly, bad feeling. And anyway, so The Walking Dead, back to The Walking Dead.
What was the project? Yeah. Do you remember the project? Shawshank.
No, it wasn't. It was, don't remember.
Okay.
The Blob?
It'll come to me in the middle of this whole thing.
Okay, that's fine.
But anyway, my casting friend said, well, look, I don't know what you, I don't give a shit what you do, but you better do something. You better call him. You better go over there and beg, buy him cigars, get him laid, whatever you got to do, get it done. Because Rooker, this role is for you. I'm telling you, it's for you. And I said, okay, I might just an actor. What the hell do I do? I'm not going to go knock on his door.
Yeah, what was the last time you had to like kind of campaign yourself for your
hardly
gig?
Ever, you know? And so I basically said, well, how about if I write him a letter and tell him from my side what happened. And she goes, yes. Send it to me because he will not accept it from you.
Jesus, no.
If you send it to me, he'll actually read it.
Oh.
So I wrote him this letter. I wrote him this letter and told him basically from my end.
Oh, hit the either guy.
Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. I wrote him this letter and gave him my what happened, what really transpired. And so he believed me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was true. And basically said, okay, all right. Let's get him in here and have him do the role.
Wow. Never burn bridges.
Yeah.
Every actor.
But he was assured.
Never burn bridges. Yeah. And make sure, no matter who your agent is, make sure you call the people personally and say, I'm sorry, it's not going to work out.
Do you feel like there's some things, because I know what it means to be Southern, and there are certain courtesies that we have, and we try to be respectful of people.
Yeah.
And I think respect is a big part of Southern culture and politeness and hospitality. And so did you feel like it was weird going into a business where mostly, this story aside, but mostly people don't operate that way?
People don't operate that way, and I operate that way. And I found it, going back to this story, I was blown away by this. And I burned bridges myself. He had burnt that bridge. Mm-hmm. And if somebody had done that to me, I would have burnt the bridge as well. And so the Walking Dead ended up being my karma piece. So God knows I did it for absolutely nothing, practically. They didn't pay me diddly squat. So I did
Michael,
it.
Michael, we got these free comics for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I did it. I did it, babe. You know, I did it for, it was my karma job. Yeah. That's how I saw it.
Well, I mean, you know, when you popped up in season two, I mean, even before you popped up in season two, you know, when Merle disappears in the first season, in the back of everyone's head, people are going, well, we gotta fucking see that guy again.
Yeah.
When are we gonna
he's
see
like
Merle
the Russian
again?
In Sopranos, except we actually saw him again.
But no, we didn't really see him again. We saw the character, but not the actual guy.
We didn't actually see Merle. Merle is out there handless somewhere in the world.
I have a feeling he's gonna become
Merle is out there, baby. That's
I think he's gonna become a version of the character of the governor.
I don't think that's true.
Nah, I want it to be
so
bad.
I know you want it to be, but that got brought up to Kirkman, and he was like, that's not going to happen.
It's so obvious. It's too obvious
for him
and for Frank as well at the time. You know, they were like both going, why should we give the audience what they really want? You know?
Yeah.
Which excellent point.
So I say a spinoff show. It's Merle
and Daryl Dixon show.
It'd be like the new Hee-Haw.
And I got to tell you, no matter how the hell they spell Daryl, it's really Daryl. It's really Merle and Daryl. And I see the credit all the time, and I'm like, what's going on? They don't know how to spell the fucking name. It's Daryl.
Daryl.
Anybody out there listening, it's Daryl.
Daryl.
You guys should have to dress in drag so you can live in a fancy apartment in Chicago.
And we probably got a no-beat asshole dad somewhere.
Yes.
named Earl.
Yeah.
Them
Dixon boys are up at...
Oh, them Dixon boys is up to it again. How are they going to beat them zombies this time?
I'm not going to lie to you. I would watch that instead of the
General Lee. I got to tell you, I think a Dukes of Hazzard style comedy with you and another guy riding around the South in a souped up muscle car running over zombies would be fucking amazing.
I could do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that sounds great.
No problem. I could do that.
Is there any kind of role that you haven't done yet that you want to see yourself doing?
Something I see myself doing.
Yeah, like what do you want to do that you haven't done yet? Cuz you've done so many movies. What have you not done yet?
Wow. You know what? I don't even think of it that way. I don't even think of, oh, I really want to do this kind of role. Mm-hmm. I read a script or it hooks me or it doesn't. And that's about the way it is. And if it's similar to something I've already done, that's okay with me because it pays. And I got a mortgage, and I work real hard at making a lot of my things different. And they're all just different pieces. And
like you're a guy that went from, I'm not like right after each other, but you were in JFK and then you were also in Slither.
Slither is such a great, JFK was great, but Slither was also an awesome
Slither,
movie.
I know JFK is great, but Slither is like, it's great.
It's fucking awesome.
Crazy. It's
Isn't
an awesome.
Cool?
Yeah.
Me and James Gunn, we're about to do a show for it, some guy from Germany approached him when he was over there. And we're going to do this show called Into the Night. And it's gonna broadcast in Germany and France, and it basically takes two artists, two actors, writers, singers, dancers, whatever. They take these two guys and or gals and they take them out and they go into the night, and whatever they do is what they do that night. There's a camera on me. There's a camera on him. And I'm going to take his ass shooting out at the range. he's going to take me. We're going to do some ADR on a game, and we're going to go out and eat, and then we're going to go party, and then we're going to have a fake party.
Now that's how you know you're hanging out with a true nerd. I'm going to take him shooting. He's going to take me to do ADR for a video game. No, but James Gunn's got that great. He's got that game. He's got the game coming out next year.
Yeah, man.
Is great.
And so we're gonna go and look at the game and do a little bit of VO for it.
That's nice. Awesome. Yeah. That's and right. You were also in Repo: The Genetic Opera too.
I was.
That's so great.
Thank God I didn't sing. Yeah, that would have been bad.
But it's just I think that's what's kind of fun and about kind of being in the business a while is you really get to experiment with a whole lot of different kinds of things, and you get to do huge budget, high profile movies, and you get to do smaller films that are just fun for you to do. Do you have a preference of the two?
No, I don't have a preference at all. I just I like to work. Yeah, I like to work. I like to make a little money, and if it's fair, it's a fair deal. I'm a happy camper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a gun range, don't you? Don't you have a big gun range?
I'm a shareholder in the Angela shooting range.
I've been there too.
Yeah, it's one of the largest outdoor shooting ranges in LA County.
And it's beautiful.
It's a great range. We got a lot of different private ranges and public ranges as well.
Is it just like wide open space? You can go shoot out in the
wild? Well, you can shoot up to maybe 700 yards.
Uh-huh.
And then we have pistol ranges and all kinds of good stuff like that.
I fired when I was 16 years old. I fired a pellet gun. I got a lucky shot on a bird. My best friend was shooting at a bird way away in a tree, and I'm like, "Give me that!" It was just like the Simpsons episode.
Yeah,
and I'm like, "Give me that!" Boom! And the bird just went down, and I felt
felt bad for about a week, right?
I did.
Yeah,
I felt horrible.
Like you felt bad for about 30 years.
I'm not over it entirely yet, and so I've never really picked up. I don't know. Just something in my head was like, "No, I don't know."
Well, you don't have to kill things with firearms. You know,
you could kill a lot of discs.
Amazing.
You can shoot at paper.
You know, there are all kinds of sports that you do,
Yeah.
And a lot of shotgun sports, a lot of pistol short competitions, all kinds of stuff like that. So you don't have to go killing birds.
I know. And my grandfather who
was... Unless
you're
going to eat it.
No.
Did you eat that sparrow?
No. I didn't.
What was it? What kind of bird was it?
It was just...
What did it look like?
It looked like a robin of some sort.
Did you pick it up?
No.
Was it a bald eagle, Chris? Is that why you didn't tell anybody until now?
Yeah, I didn't. It was the last California condor.
Is that true? You never told anyone?
No. It was just like a robin or something. And the worst part about the story is I didn't kill it with the shot. We ran over.
It stepped on it.
No, we just.
You have to. Got to put it out.
I mean, first of all, I'm a wreck when this is happening, and my best friend who was with me is like, "Well, it's still alive. You got to finish it." And I'm like,
I can't.
And so he took the gun and put it up to the bird's head and just shot it, and its head cocked back. And I will never forget that moment of just watching its body involuntarily react to
heaven. Oh, yeah, little plumes of feathers.
Yeah, oh, my God. Apart. Yeah, and not in a celebratory way, the plumes of feathers.
Yeah.
So it was very impactful to me. But I have heard that shooting guns is a fun thing.
It's a lot of fun.
You out. It's fun. It is fun.
I mean, that range is great. And also, if you want to get a little more gritty, you go down to the gun club, Los Angeles.
Is that the one that's downtown?
I don't like indoor ranges. I'm sorry, guys.
You like outdoor ranges?
I much prefer outdoor ranges.
It's okay. it's weird.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
That has a more suicide rate there too.
I just wouldn't go to indoor ranges. It's too noisy, and no matter how good the venting system is. I don't like breathing in crap.
Yeah,
I'm going to listen to you, like the expert.
Yeah, no, it is like the outdoor ranges. And it's like, it's a nice outdoor activity. It's beautiful out there.
It's better for your ears, too. The sound dissipates. And then in the indoor ranges, you got like 30, 40 people on the line. I don't know how many people they got, how big the place is. But it's really noisy.
Yeah, it is. It's nice, too, on the outdoor ranges because you make the shot and you just hear the sound go off and echo, and it's just kind of, it's more, I don't know.
What kind of guns have you fired?
I've fired a Magnum, and I've fired a shotgun.
Wow.
Yeah, shotgun. I did a skeet shooting.
And
that's great, because you click into that, like, real easy, because it's just a video game. That's all it is.
I like sporting clay as well.
Yes.
I won the
Platinum Bullet 3 years in a row at Boy Scout camp.
Oh, there you go.
Because I am a good shot.
Really?
Yeah.
Marksman.
So you're our sharpshooter in this.
I am. I can get a grouping the size of a dime.
You're the Andrea of our group.
Obviously.
It's the Andrea.
Yeah. Bigger, it would be the size of a dime.
I'm the T-Dog.
You shoot when your fellow friends are downrange.
I would be honored sometime if you, Michael Rooker, would teach me how to shoot a gun. If I came down to the range, would you do that?
I can do that.
I smell a segment for the
Nerdist
TV show.
We can make a whole new segment.
Have you seen those FPS Russia videos where the Russian guy
he's not Russian.
I know he's not, but he pretends to be Russian. But he gets those giant assault rifles and just blows shit up on YouTube.
Like,
have you seen those?
50 cows and stuff. And
it's fun to blow stuff up.
Destroys things. Oh, it is. It is fantastic.
People love doing that.
What's are the guns at your gun range, you can just go and rent them there?
No, they don't rent anything. The shotgun, there's a private shotgun club there that rent shotguns.
My friend brought his own shotgun.
But the main range is, you have to bring your own firearms.
Oh, no. That means I have to go out and get a gun.
Let's do it together.
You can find someone with a gun.
I got plenty. Okay. You can try a few of mine and see which kinds you like, and then you can go out and buy one.
It's so rad. It's the first time. I still remember the first time I shot a gun, and it's just like the rush of adrenaline, the fucking power in your hand. It's just it's an explosion in your hand, and it makes you so excited.
Well, I was just trying to earn a merit badge, which I did.
I mean, there are other things that can create explosions in your hand.
Yeah. What are you saying? I don't mean. What do you mean? What are you talking about? So, do you guys? You run a jerk-off range? We can just run around outside. When you feel yourself...
God, there was an explosion in my hand the first time. I couldn't believe it.
It was a cool experience.
My mom knocked on the door. Hey, what are you doing in there?
Shooting guns.
Hey, mom. Back at Boy Scout camp, Myra could hit a paper boobs at 700 yards.
Yeah.
Sure could.
I remember there was a kid. I was at school with a kid once. He was bragging about how far he could come.
What?
Yeah, he's like, I could reach the other side of my room. I was like, I don't know if that's like supposed to be a thing.
God, let's change this.
Or the kid lives
in
squalor.
Did I start this? It was like, I'm sorry. Okay.
It's fine. I'm impressed.
Forgive me, guys. Now back to Frank Darabont.
He could come 1,500 feet.
He's amazing.
Now that guy could come far.
He's amazing. He's amazing.
He's come far and he can come far.
Oh, explicit tag.
Yeah.
No, but JFK, when I was in high school, I got to, for some reason, whenever the teacher had a hangover, I got to pick the movie we'd watch. She was a young teacher. She had a hangover a lot. So I'd pick the movie, and I always picked JFK because it was two videotapes.
Oh, there you go.
And it would take two classes to watch.
There you go.
And everyone just sat through it both times?
We loved, like, are you kidding? We all knew what I was doing, which was preventing us from having class for 2 days.
Nice.
That's pretty smart.
Oh, right on.
That is pretty clever.
For some reason, she always let us watch it.
Oh, yeah?
I'd say, let's watch JFK. And she'd be like, okay.
How was that movie to work on? Was it intense? Oliver, how was Oliver Stone?
Oliver was a very good director. Except he wasn't really on set a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, he'd sit in this booth with you know, and he'd be in another room somewhere.
Mm.
You know, and wow. But it was cool. He was a cool guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What else?
He lets us know that Clay Bertrand is Clay Shaw.
Yes.
I mean,
JFK. Yeah. Wow.
That was a big fucking.
Look at all the people.
That was fantastic.
Look at all the actors.
John Candy's in that.
Well, that movie. If you're playing 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon, like that's your hub.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's your hub movie.
That and Sleepers.
Yeah, because those are the movies that you can connect to almost because everyone. Yeah, John Candy was amazing in JFK too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Holy shit!
Crazy as your mama.
I had a lot of good people in that movie. Yeah.
Yep.
Are you working on anything now that you're that's coming up that you're excited about?
Got a little independent thing. We're talking about tiny little movies.
Whatever you
tiny
want.
Tiny little movie. Yeah. It's called Hypothermia.
Okay.
It's supposed to come out in the spring of 12,
mm-hmm.
2012, in the spring. Sometime.
Around the corner.
Yeah, that's what I was told.
What's it? It's about hypothermia.
Well, no, it's about it's basically.
I bet he kills someone in it.
No, actually, no, I don't think I kill anyone.
I don't know if I can watch.
Stop typecasting him. Stop typecasting.
I almost didn't do the movie. Because, I mean, how many people I get to kill? Nobody. Sure. You get to kill no one in this movie. I said, well, why should I do the movie?
All right, let's let him kill someone.
I do it in movies, so I don't
bring
have
his
to.
Own guns. Yeah.
He does it in movies, so he doesn't have to do it in real life.
Right. Yeah. But it's the Creature from Black Lagoon.
Oh, great.
Based. It's not a complete remake, but it's kind of that kind of scenario, except we're in a frozen ice lake.
Okay.
And it was really frozen. Really cold up in Minnesota. I think it was up in Minnesota. No, it wasn't Minnesota. It was upstate New York.
Okay.
And it was freezing cold.
Still cold. Yeah.
It was
still really
cold, dude. They had to get plows to plow our way onto the lake. It was so snowy and cold up there. And I had to go in the water.
Oh.
Yeah. Everybody's like, you sure? You okay with this? You okay with this? I mean, yeah, I'm fine. Let's just do it. Here, you got to wear this. And they gave me this suit to go over my suit. I look like the abominable snowman. It was like all loaded up. I was like, I can't wear this. It doesn't even look like, I mean, this is ridiculous, you know? And so anyway, I took most of it off and walked out into the, they had cut open a big hole for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm walking around with my walking stick and and looking around, and all of a sudden, I just go into the water. And then they had this cable on me so I wouldn't get sucked under and stuff.
So, oh, that's reassuring.
Wow. That's a good feeling.
Can you believe that? Yeah. I mean, but it ended up being a lot of fun.
Really? So it's that, because the people in the polar bear clubs, like, they jump in.
I thought it was fine. Everybody's like, whoa, you went in. I was like, why? It wasn't that cold.
And once you get in there, your skin numbs up, and then you're fine.
Well, it's that shock. Sometimes it can shock your body, and it can be a bad thing. But I was, you're ready for it. You get ready for it, you know. action and
cut, Michael. We're just not getting it.
Rucker,
can you come
out of the water now?
No, guys, I'm fine.
You finish this fucking shot.
Well, I got to tell you, the hard part was not going into the water and hanging out there for a minute and coming out. It was doing the rest of it, like because I stay in the water for a little time, and so time passes, and so it's at night before they actually find me, and so to complete the scene, we had to go over into a ditch area away from the lake where a cold mountain stream would come in. And we dug on a hole, and I laid down in this cold, freezing, cold, running water, and as if I'm climbing out.
Oh,
the scene took forever.
Oy.
Dude, I couldn't feel my waist. From my waist down, it was numb. My balls were complete. I didn't even know I had it.
Well, how are we supposed to go? How are we supposed to go to the cum range later if your balls freeze up?
I mean, it was like I had no body. I had no lower body at
Did
all.
Did you pretend you were
completely,
a robot, half robot?
Completely
I would have pretended
freezing.
I was half robot.
You might have ended up being half
robot.
Well,
I couldn't walk. They got me out, and it was like nothing was working.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I had to sit there, and people had to like slap my legs,
oh, fuck.
And I had to stand up and try to move. And
you guys have insurance on this film, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Insurance?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Sure.
No. I said little movie. Remember I said little one?
Little movie.
Yeah.
Do you ever want to do anything else besides act? Do you want to direct or do you want to write stuff? Or?
Oh, you know, I tried directing. I got a little movie called Penhurst.
Okay.
It's still not done. It's still not done. They don't have any money. I keep telling them, all I need is 4 more days to finish it up. And they have no money. It's like, no, we don't have any money, and they can't finish it. So it's not finished. And then, you know, one day it may come out, and people go, whoa. Good thing he's an actor and not a director.
Or they could say, where has this bright young talent been all these years?
Oh, I don't think so.
Was it your script or was it someone else's?
No, it wasn't my script. It wasn't my script. I was even roped into doing the thing. You know, I like a friend of mine said, hey, I was going to do a little role in it. And then he said, would you like to direct it? I'm like, what?
I was just going to come in for a day.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Are you serious? He said, yeah. Come on. You know, it'll be fun. And I'm like, okay, shit. I mean, I've always been the kind of guy that sort of leaps before I look, and you know, I got into it, and I'm like, what the fuck?
I can't imagine.
Why am I doing this?
I've been asked before, like, oh, do you ever want to direct anything? I'm like, no, because it sounds like a crazy amount.
It's stupid.
Do it like Oliver Stone. I'll be in another room.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Make that movie.
And keep all the producers away from me.
Yeah.
You know, you got 7 or 8 people trying to tell you what to do anyway.
Right.
And it was like ridiculous. I mean, so I had fun. Don't get me wrong. It was okay. The actors were all very talented. But, you know, I prefer to do my scene, do my work, and get the hell out of there. I want to do what I need to do and leave and go to my trailer or wrap out and go chill out. I don't want to have to be on set for 12, 14, 16 hours a day.
Do you have a house somewhere else outside of Los Angeles that you escape to, or do you use your main residence in Los Angeles?
Main residence in just outside of L.A., and I have a house in Chicago.
Nice.
And a little thing in Wisconsin.
Oh, where?
It's up in Princeton, Wisconsin.
Princeton, Wisconsin.
There's an old brewery up there, and my mother-in-law owns it, and she's promising me that I can buy it from her one day.
Oh, wow.
when I get some money.
Oh, my God.
How about a job out there? Anybody got a job for Rooker?
Oh.
I want to buy an old brewery.
Fucking.
Yeah. Brewery money.
Rooker Ale, I think, is a fun. I mean, I see like a really successful microbrew right there.
I would drink
right
that on. Just based on the name.
Yeah.
You'd drive all the way to Princeton, Wisconsin?
It's just a picture.
To have a Rooker brew?
It'll be the new Billy beer.
Yep. Hey, but it's just a picture of you with a fucking shotgun on the can, and it just says "Shotgun a Rooker" like right across the top.
Yeah, and there's no, you can't open it on the top. You have to stick a key into it.
Yeah,
just to shoot it to get it open.
Yeah. There's no opening on this. That's why it comes with a key.
Remember, I shot a bottle of Guinness, and it didn't shatter, and that's when I realized they were wrapped in plastic.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So bad.
I know,
that's
right?
Terrible, right?
Do you ever like go deer hunting? Do you ever hunt?
I've hunted a few times. I don't get to go too often, but I got a lot of buddies that do it, and yeah, and that's where you learn. You learn how to gut things and clean things and all that kind of junk, and then you eat it.
Yeah,
of course, and you can't. Waste. I mean,
you can't just shoot it and laugh at it.
I mean, most hunters are pretty ethical people, and you know, you get some idiots out there, of course, but you know, I got to tell you, if it weren't for hunting in this country, it'd be really bad. I mean, we'd be overrun by deer, basically, and I mean, people be dying on
kids
the highways.
Would die
because
they hit fucking deer.
No, it's nuts. You know, you hit a deer going 70, 80 miles an hour, and
you're
in
done.
Trouble, brother.
There's a really horrifying, I think it's horrifying, I guess it's really not horrifying, but it's just weird. But this, one of the classic internet videos is, I think it's called The Huntress, and it's this mom and her kid, and they're hunting squirrels. And then the kid shoots a squirrel, and she's like, good shot! Like from the upper Midwest, they're like from like Minnesota or something. And they make squirrel melts. She fucking skins the squirrel,
And she taxidermies it?
Yeah. No, she skins it and then puts it in a pot. Yeah. And it's like a cook. Then it becomes like a cooking show. It's a hunting show that then becomes a weird cooking show where she's like,
oh, yeah, I've seen
squirrel melts. They're really nutritious and you can put them on toast and they look.
Squirrels are lean.
It looks so gamey and like your stomach turns when you see this chopped up squirrel meat with a piece of American cheese and mayonnaise on it.
Ah, well, Norman Reedus loves squirrel meat.
Does he really?
Oh, yeah. He's down there on The Walking Dead eating that sushi squirrel.
You mean Durrell?
I mean Durrell, yeah.
Durrell,
not Norman. Norman wouldn't eat sushi squirrel.
No, but Durrell. Durrell does.
How is deer taste? Is it? What can you compare it to?
A very lean venison kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is venison, but yeah. Deer's good.
Yeah, deer's
very
good.
Deer's
good.
It is.
Yeah,
that's right. It is.
Have you been hunting
lean venison? Deer tastes like lean venison.
Oh, that's good news.
My dad was a big hunter. And we had a Brittany. We had a hunting dog. And
oh, yeah, your dad's a military guy.
A lot of times they mix it with something. They mix it with other kind of sausage or other kind of beef, pork.
Deer jerky's great. I love deer jerky.
Yeah.
I love deer jerky.
Deer jerky.
Yeah, so... Anyway,
I had no idea.
Oh, they're a whole during hunting seasons. There are all these companies that package and if you're a hunter, you go off and do a hunt, and they have the places that will process your meat and package it for you, and you're ready to go.
Nice.
Just know, Chris, that if they dropped us in the woods, I'd live the longest.
Well, you have a lot to live off of.
Not including
Michael.
That's
not because he's the heaviest.
No.
Not at all. Because he knows how to hunt.
I mean, I would live on my stored body fat for a while before I even moved.
Actually, I think we'd live off of you. You'd be the first to get shot, and we'd be like, we're going to eat Matt tonight.
Wait, I'd be the first to get shot? By whom?
What is that?
By me.
You're shooting me. You're killing me. I get it.
I would go to tie my shoe behind, then Jonah would push you over.
Yeah.
And then when you went on your back and your legs went up in the air, Jonah...
But I had the concept.
They got it all planned out. Don't go with it.
This is what me and Chris mostly talk about when you're not around.
I would shoot you from a long distance, and then I'd feel bad, and then Jonah would be like, you got to finish Matt. And then we'd go over, and then he'd shoot you in the head. And your head would cock back.
Oh, no, it's just like that bird.
Then we'd jerk off on your corpse.
I can't do it.
It's going to be a lot of fun for us. Don't take that away.
You put that in his head, so if there is some sort of apocalypse thing, we're going to be the first ones to get taken out by him because he's going to think we're going to fucking eat him.
That's true.
No, I'd kill Jonah first because I know you couldn't finish me off.
Oh, shit.
And you can never finish him off.
Hey, why is it? I got a question for you. Why do you think The Walking Dead, everyone is so afraid of these zombies? They're running away from them all the time. You have guns.
Well, because ammunition is limited. You have to shoot them exactly in the head.
Why is ammunition limited?
Because they...
You never know when you're going to come across some more.
Yeah. Where are the M16s? where are all
also,
those
also,
weapons?
Supposedly
at Fort Benning.
If you kill one with a gun, they'll make a loud noise and they'll attract more.
Ah, come on. There's silencers and all kinds of stuff.
That's true.
Shoot them from long distance.
Zombie assassin. I think what happens is they just start to hoard. And then, so it's, you can like pick a couple off, but then, you know, in the melee of a horde, someone's going to get bitten, someone's going to get scratched, and then all of a sudden,
you know,
zombie.
I noticed that they're starting to travel in the large groups, right?
Right.
Well, you could build this fencing, you funnel them in. And you pop them as they walk by.
Yeah,
they do that in the comic books. They do. There are ways that they line them up so that they can take them out one by one. But then it's always one stray one that they don't ever see that gets someone, and then everyone goes fucking crazy.
If you do it from like a hour
duck blind or something.
Get in the duck blind. Build a duck blind.
A zombie blind.
You do it from the sixth floor of the book depository.
Right.
You lead them all in.
Oh my God.
This is perfect.
Yeah, they just have to be in a motorcade.
I need someone on the grassy knoll.
Zombie motorcade.
Zombie motorcade.
Possibly someone in the sewer. That was a cigarette smoking man, I believe. An X-Files reference.
That's an X-Files reference. Yeah. I know. I remember he wrote that book at the end, and then he turned it into the magazine, and the magazine published it as they seemed like a crackpot.
So tell me something. How does this show work? Is this live right now?
No. We record it, and then it goes on.
We'll put it up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. Where does it go up?
We put it up on the internet. Yeah, we put it up on it. Mainly,
iTunes, cool.
You know, but you can access it through, you know, Zune or through the website, or there's a lot of different places
right
you can get it. But
right on.
And it lives there forever
and ever.
Yeah,
Do you careful what you say, buddy.
Oh shit!
Yeah, yeah, we've said some horrible things on this show.
Yeah. Later on, you're trying to
my dad was
running for governor. All of a sudden, they come back with a couple of audio sessions.
Yeah, it's like, do you need someone running this state who's talked about how far his friend can come? I don't think so.
But his friend can come really far. That's why I'm nominating him.
We're talking about killing his friend and eating him.
Yeah.
Sergeant Jack Tuknitsky.
There goes your political career.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm sorry, man.
No, I ruined that a long time ago, especially on this podcast. There's not. I have no aspirations to run. I think running for public office sounds terrible.
That's the dumbest
job. It sounds horrible. Yeah. I can almost, when
I'm like 50, I'll run for Congress.
I can almost not tolerate when people like complain at me about stuff that's not important. Mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine having people come at me if I was having to make decisions about healthcare. And I mean, like, mm-hmm. I don't know. You have to have a certain kind of mettle for public office, and I think it might be you have to be a slightly broken.
You have to be kind of a megalomaniac.
A little bit.
Yeah, you have to be,
you have to like
who can fix it?
Seriously.
You got to really like some, you got to like people not liking you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You have to get off on that more.
And I'm a comic. I can't. That's the opposite of how I am. I'm a comedian. I need everyone to like me.
Yeah. I don't like it when people don't like me.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
What is it? How come?
I don't know.
You just think?
It's a problem.
Shit.
I have issues. What's it to you?
Fight him. Fight him, Matt.
Is that me? I can't.
Yeah. No, Matt. Matt was
the only one in the room that can kill me.
Well, you were big talking before about you're going to survive the longest in the forest. You might not make it out of this fucking studio with Rooker in here.
Well, I mean, I wasn't including Rooker in the forest drop.
I kind of like him. He's a nice guy.
Oh, see, he's getting close to you, Matt. So he can do the deaths. He can do the
I'm
swipe.
Okay with that.
The death swipe.
If someone's going to kill me, I'd rather be Michael Rooker.
Oh, right on.
that would be so, you know, that your IMDb page would really be thankful for that.
Yeah.
I mean, your star meter would
just shoot up.
Killed by Michael Rooker. Yeah.
Michael Rooker's stalking me.
He has one entry, and then he was killed by Michael Rooker, but he's the top searched guy on IMDb.
The ultimate Rookered.
Yeah. What happens?
You've been Rookered.
He has truly been Rookered.
That's a great story. Pass me some of that Rooker ale.
Delicious.
You got to go up and get that brewery. That's going to be fun.
I know. I really like the area, too. It's right on the Fox River. It's really cool.
There's so much great land up there and so many great places to go.
Populated.
I've been in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and I've been to Minnesota and Wisconsin, and it's gorgeous up there. And then you realize that it's largely uninhabitable for like 8 months out of the year.
I wanted to move to Michigan. It was like a thing.
You know what? I was just on Twitter last night, and I befriended a young lady who is from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
She's up in Minnesota.
Yep.
And she said, would you befriend us, a nice young lady from Minnesota? And I said, well, I thought to myself, well, fuck yeah. Why not? Yeah, I'll befriend you. You're my friend now. And then it was so sweet. She tweeted it. Absolutely made my whole evening, you know. Yeah. So it was really cool.
Oh, that's really cool. Do you like all the social media? Do you like Twitter and everything?
I do like it. I like the Twitter and the Facebook. I like the Twitter a little better than Facebook, but Facebook's okay too. And I think it's cool. Yeah, just go on every now and then. You go on, you chat with people you don't even know them. Sort of like being on the CB, when I'm driving cross country.
You still have a CB?
I still got a CB and my Lincoln Navigator.
What's your handle?
Tag along.
Tag along.
You have a Lincoln.
Breaker 19. This is tag along. We got a Smokey here on I-95.
I'll tell you, it's saved my ass many a time.
Nice.
Oh yeah. You can hear when the cops are you can hear what's going on down the road.
Yeah.
And how the weather's doing. And you can hear a lot of fights.
It's really,
people fight a lot.
CBs
begin to debates.
CBs were really kind of the first.
Internet.
Social network.
That's
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
My grandfather had a CB when I was growing up, and we always used to get on there.
Yeah, you don't know who the hell you're talking
about. No, it's like a fucking chat room, like chat roulette.
It's a chat room.
It's a chat roulette for truckers.
On the road. Yeah.
And their dicks are probably out because it's a chat roulette.
What was your call sign, Chris?
I don't remember.
I was Cannonball because I was a little fat kid.
Did you have a CB? Yeah. Really? Yeah. It was Cannonball. Oh my God.
It's weird. That's the first time that's come up.
How has this never come up?
come up before.
We never talk about CBs.
Yeah, we've talked about CB. You've gone on and on about CBs before.
Have you? Oh, really, really. I don't know a lot of people that do CBs anymore, but I love them.
So it's still pretty active. It's still pretty active.
Well, when you're on the highway, I mean, there's it's sort of a subculture, okay?
Yeah.
There are people who do ham radios all the time, and they're real serious guys. They got the antenna.
Hey, Nick, you're a ham radio guy, right?
By their house.
Yeah. 6LN.
Yeah, right on, man.
CQ, CQ.
What's your call sign again?
KM6LN, and on, here, put them. On CB, I'm Nighthawk.
Right on, brother. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Channel 12 in the San Fernando Valley.
Hey, you know, when I got to tell you, when shit happens and things go out,
CB,
this man's the only one's going to be able to get out.
I tell you, that's exactly true. That is exactly true. You know, when the earthquake hit in 94,
that's right.
No cell phones, no nothing. Ham radio, CB radio.
Where
do you go?
So you just talk to people about how you had no cell phones and no telephone.
What do you talk about on ham radio?
You could call, in those situations, you call in help. You call in, you can tell folks that you're in need of assistance. So you can help other people. I mean, you can connect with other people.
Red Cross monitors, everything. Yeah. If in a serious situation, the hams and CB operators, totally up front.
I should get a ham radio.
Yeah. They rule the road. They rule they rule the airways.
Babe. Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're really the backbone of America. And no one really knows because it's not as shiny as the internet.
Yeah.
But it's there.
All the LAPD were trying to find you guys. I mean, they were using ham radio operators to get the word out and tell people where to go, to get help, all that stuff.
We had a giant ham radio antenna on our house that was shaped like a TIE fighter that would wake me up because my dad would be moving it and you'd hear it go,
oh my gosh,
like early in the morning. And then I'd go downstairs and he'd be like, I'm talking to Russia.
That's right, you can. Absolutely.
Is that when you call the CIA?
We talked to the space station once. We talked to Mir.
What?
Columbia, before she broke up. Not that particular mission, obviously.
Oh, sure.
But, I've talked to the space shuttle before.
Oh my God.
In other words, you know what?
I think I just got
screw
interested.
Screw your cell phones. Screw your internet. A computer, Matt.
Can't call the space station with a cell phone. Right,
and it's free.
And it's free. Absolutely free.
Absolutely.
We gotta have the cards. Do you have your own card, Nick, that you send in?
Michael's right. There is a huge subculture. I remember there was a guy that, when I worked at a record store in Venice, he would come in and sell us old LPs of like songs by people that have like CB radios. Oh, so it was like all the songs were based off of different guys and different
Convoy,
areas.
That was a big one.
That was a huge, that whole era in the 70s. Yeah, CW McCall, Convoy. And but all those, that in the 70s when CB culture really hit and it was like Smokey and the Bandit and all the, the Cannonball Run stuff and all of those, when truckers were, it was like really chic to be a trucker in the 70s.
Oh yeah, it's still chic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Among some, maybe not in this room.
I meant in terms of Hollywood. Like in terms of Hollywood, you had all these like BJ and the Bear and all these TV and films that took place.
I got to tell you, I was driving across country one time and it was a sad situation. I'm going across country and I'm pulling into this truck stop and I go in and use the bathroom and I'm in the men's room here. I'm going to fuel up and everything, and there's some guy in the corner bawling. Huh. I'm like listening to him and I'm washing my hands. And I was like, and then I saw him afterwards out and he was like talking to another guy. And basically he couldn't finish his haul. He couldn't finish he had no more money. He ran out of money for gas.
Yeah. Oh shit. Oh.
He couldn't buy fuel.
Yeah.
The fuel was so high. It was so expensive to buy fuel. He was his business had just stopped. Just then, at that truck stop, he couldn't move another inch.
Holy shit!
It was really sad. It was really horrible. It's like really horrible because that's how people make a living. You know, right. When fuel goes up like that, it's really rough on those guys.
Then it's a bad catch 22 because he can't get money to get the fuel because he can't deliver the.
That's right.
Exactly. Well, what you do is you sell some of the stuff on your truck.
Yeah.
That's what I
right out of the back of the truck. Yeah, there
whatever
you go.
Whatever you're hauling. Whatever you're hauling. You just sell
you just dump your cargo, Han Solo.
I don't think you can do that. They'll send somebody to pick that up.
Pay them back. Yeah.
What do you want? Grain, immigrants, whatever you want. I got in the back of the truck now. What do you need? What
pillows.
Do you need back there?
I got a couple of extra.
I've spent a lot of time on the road, growing up, My dad, I grew up on the Pro Bowlers tour, and so we used to drive everywhere all over the country, and then driving now for comedy in all these different towns. And I'll pass like a snazzy truck with a big old shiny cab on it. And don't you kind of feel that, like, man, that might be fun for a little while, just like the fucking
yeah. They
live
got
in the
and
back.
They got the lights. You can tell they take care of the cab.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's like
some of these folks really take care of their equipment.
I've met a couple of truckers who listen to the podcast. I mean, that must be a thing. Listening to podcasts must be like.
I bet they're way into it.
And
they
got the Navitron Auto Drive. No, that was a Simpsons episode.
Yeah. Is that the Canyonero have that?
No, the Canyonero didn't have that.
That was when Barton Homer went trucking.
Yeah, they went trucking. Yeah, yeah. And there was the scam. The thing drove the thing. The truck.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I do. You know, there are some times where I go, you know, for like a month, it might be kind of fun to just hop in a fucking truck and drive around. I mean, I've seen a lot of America, but I certainly haven't seen all of it.
I get jealous when they have the big giant cabs that, you know, their bed's probably pretty comfortable, and they have like DirecTV.
They got refrigerator. You know what? I don't think they have a bathtub or anything like that.
No, unless you just put that in the fucking. In the part
but
where
I'm
you haul
put,
stuff.
I'm going to put this out there to the truckers. Guys, way stations, right? They're never open. Is it just me?
I've never seen a way station that's open.
So if that's the sort of...
Is that for your trucker stand-up comedy tour that you're planning on doing?
No, it depends on what time of day.
Are you guys going to go see Matt of the Cannonball tour?
No, you'll know they're open if you have a CB and every trucker in the world is bitching and moaning. They have to stop.
What are those for? I don't even know what the way stations are for.
They check your weight. They check your weight. They check your log. They check to see if you've been... They check to see if you've been driving for too long.
Oh, wow.
You can only drive so many hours a day. Then you have to have downtime.
Okay.
And then they also, they want to make sure everything's copacetic.
Yeah, Dan Mincy's have that joke where he's like, I really hate weigh stations because they charge you about how many axles you have. And I'm a trucker where I deliver axles. So
this makes me want to take I think between Christmas and New Year's, I want to just drive around America for a couple of days.
Going on a trip.
I really love doing it. Like, I'll fly into a small town and then, you know, drive 100 miles to perform at a college or something.
That was the most expensive trip I ever took was driving across the country.
It is, but you see, you know, you only stumble across magical places by accident like that. Like,
well,
giant
also
McDonald's.
If you get off the highway, too.
Yeah, you gotta get off the highway.
You know, like do the old Route 66 or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you could also get fucking murdered, but, you know, but beyond that, there are some...
You should never get murdered.
No, you should never.
That's not a good thing.
Words of the wise. And don't get murdered.
You know, I mean, once we go shooting and you learn how to shoot, you see what you like, you know.
Yeah, I'll throw a shotgun in the back of my Audi.
You will have...
I'll get a gun rack on my S5.
You will have absolutely no fear whatsoever.
Well, your trunk is built to hold golf clubs, so it could probably
fit guns.
I got pulled over one time by some Border Patrol agents. I was coming on Highway 8. I was coming back from North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I had gone to North Carolina to pick up a rifle.
Okay.
Because I had bought this rifle, and they said, oh, we'll send it to you, UPS. I said, what? No. You're not sending that UPS. You're not sending that any kind of postal. I'm going to drive. I'm going to pick it up. I ain't trusting that to nobody, baby. I mean, I paid this much money for a really well-made rifle. I'm not going to have it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to trust it to the postal system.
throw it on your doorstep.
Oh, yeah. Dude. But I drive down. I pick it up. I'm on my way back, and I have So the guys are following for an hour and a half, and I'm like, why are they following me? So I'm on my CB. I don't know. He must like looking at my ass or something like that. And you know what? They're listening to you. So they're, you know, by the time they pull you over, looking at your ass, right?
Oh.
Boom, boom, boom. Oh, my God. But anyway, he pulls me over. The guy pulls me over. Basically, he was waiting for backup.
Mm.
So he pulls me over. He pulls me over, and he comes up to the window, and he goes, and he gets my ID and my registration. He goes, this your car? I go, yeah. And how long have you owned this car? And I tell him how long I've owned the car. And he says, have any weapons in the car? I go, yes, I actually do.
Better to be honest.
And he says, and where are they? Well, I have one right over here, and I have one in the back, and I have four in the back. and he goes... okay, why don't you step out of the car then and hang out outside the car? I said, that's a good idea. So I see him go back to his cruiser. He's back there talking. He's got my IDs and everything. And I see him. He's going off on somebody. And I'm looking at him. He's like yelling. I can't hear anything, but he's yelling and he's really going off on somebody. And he comes back and he goes, sorry, Mr. Rooker, you may go now. And I said, well, what happened? And he says, well, they gave him, he was following me because he was getting my license plate and he was giving it to the dispatcher and the dispatchers were giving him the wrong, basically the wrong vehicle.
Oh.
It was coming back as a BMW or something like that. And I'm driving a Lincoln Navigator, an old one at that, 99. Mm-hmm. And so basically, yeah, they were, it was a little scary.
Could have turned ugly.
Yeah. No. I the only thing that could have turned ugly is the guy taking offense with me saying he's just like looking at my ass.
Well, listen, now that I'm going to let you go and you're free, I'm going to go get a drink.
By the way, that comment, I didn't appreciate that comment.
I'm not saying it was wrong. I'm just saying I didn't appreciate you telling
everyone.
Check
out how far I can come. It's that guy.
But I mean, they didn't even ask to see any of my weapons or anything like that.
Yeah. So, oh, that's cool.
They, you know, so once they found out that, you know, I was just regular guy driving.
It's always tricky transporting across state lines, guns.
I don't know.
No, you can. I mean, as long as they're stored in the proper way. Yeah. You know, you got to store them in the proper way. They got to be placed somewhere.
My dad moved to Florida. He sold all of his guns.
What happened?
When my dad moved to Florida from Massachusetts, he sold all of his guns. He's like, I'll just buy new ones when I get there. I don't want any trouble.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's terrible.
But don't you have to put, like, if you just put them in a lockbox in the trunk, I'm sure, isn't that, like, all you're supposed to do?
How many guns did he have?
Enough.
he had a truckload of guns.
Well, enough to pay for the move.
Like, I never knew that we had guns in the house as a kid. Like, I knew he hunted. I knew he had a shotgun.
That's a good parent then.
Yeah. But like, but finally we're moving. I was 21 and he's like, come on, take a look. And like, he opens it up and he's got like pistols.
Oh my God. He had this huge collection of really awesome guns.
Yeah, that I had no idea existed in the house.
Well, I think what we've learned from today's episode is that if shit really goes down, the team of Nick and Rooker are going to be the ones that we're going to...
It's like a 70s TV show, Nick and Rooker.
Nick and Rooker. He's got the... a guy who owns a gun range and a ham radio expert get together to solve crimes.
Sure.
Nick and Rooker.
I'm watching that show.
No, Rooker and Ham. Nighthawk. Rooker and Nighthawk.
Yeah, but Nighthawk is just a CB radio guy, so he's not as exciting as he sounds. Like Nighthawk, that guy's got to be a badass, right? No, he's just a real ham radio enthusiast.
just loves it.
Really doesn't like kick ass. Doesn't have a Firebird or anything like that. No.
One time he talked to an airplane who was flying.
Well, that, you know, my handle was gonna be Navigator.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
The Navigator, or just Navigator, whatever. They wanted the truckers christened me Navigator, and I said, I don't like the Navigator, you know? And I'm driving a Lincoln Navigator, and I prefer something a little more. How about Tagalong? You've been with us the last 2 days.
And I'm like, shit.
Dude, yeah. Let's do it.
That's Tagalong's awesome.
Nighthawk and Tagalong.
Yeah.
Wow.
We just found it. Nighthawk and Tagalong.
Special appearance by Cannonball.
Did it. In
Cannonball's like the little brother. He's like, wait up for me, guys.
Cannonball, I told you not to get in the cab.
Yeah. Nighthawk, Cannonball's been kidnapped again.
Would you put down that 10 pounds of deer jerky and come help us lift this box?
I got a great deal.
Oh my God.
This is amazing.
Fun stuff.
Well, so are you just at Michael Rooker on Twitter? What's your Twitter?
Michael_Rooker is my
Michael_Rooker.
At Michael_Rooker. And I got a webpage, MichaelRookerOnline.com.
Or tag along on the Citizens Band.
Right on.
Awesome.
Right on, bro.
Or Nighthawk if you're on the Hams.
Channel 12.
In the sand for now.
Hell yeah, man. That's right, baby.
Fired up that realistic radio.
All right, enjoy your motherfucking burrito, people. All right, good night. What do you say? 10-4 out.
Yeah, 10-4, over and out.
Yeah.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast was brought to you by Carbonite Online Backup. Easy, automatic, unlimited backup for your computer files. Try it free for 15 days at carbonite.com. Use the offer code Nerdist.
This episode is brought to you by the effortlessly scrumptious bite of Skinny Pop Popcorn. Imagine this, perfectly popped, endlessly delicious kernels, a symphony of just three simple ingredients, popcorn, sunflower oil, and a sprinkle of salt. No compromise, just pure snacking freedom. And hey, if you're up for a twist, dive into flavors like zesty white cheddar to sweet and salty kettle. Every bite's a delight, light and oh so tasty. Shop Skinny Pop now.